Being the first Wednesday of the month, it's our private eye, Peter, comes and tells us all about what's going on. And Happy New Year to you, Peter. Let's get started again.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you too. You can hear me okay now?
Absolutely. It was my fault down this end. It just shows you shouldn't take holidays, should you?
No, I'm going to be probably a little bit rusty today too, but I see Nick Mason got a rare writing credit on that song off Dark Side of the Moon. So
did he?
That's, reasonably unusual to see his name pop in there with Gilmore and Wright.
I know you're a Pink Floyd fan. That's why I put it in, Peter.
Thank you very much. I did enjoy it.
That's terrific. And I should mention, let's be honest, Peter gives up his time once a month to come with us, and Peter does run a business, and it's called Absolute Facts. So if you're looking for a private eye, whatever. Peter, we do have an inquiry something we want you to do at the end for next month, and I won't necessarily give it to you, but I think what you're going to talk about now is probably going to segue into it. So you'd like to talk about the increasing or the pressures on the family, is that right?
Yeah, so look, I mean, you've asked in the past about whether there'll be an increase in, perhaps retail theft and general crime.
Yep.
And with the current circumstances with inflation, the price rises in things like gas, let alone mortgage rates, interest rates in general, and, combined with the fact that a lot of people who I reckon correctly locked their mortgage in for a period of time at what turned out to be quite a decent rate are going to be in for a hell of a shock when they get their adjusted or amended payment schedule when that rolls off.
Yep.
So all of these factors, I would say, have probably already, but will also be see increasing desperation out there in the general populace. Right. Mainly and seriously just due to financial stress.
Yep.
And that's going to reflect on, there's quite a lot of stories about retail staff and service providers really copping more and more abuse.
Which is very unfair, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. People are just becoming very frustrated, and if they've got someone or something they can take it out on, they just tend to let rip a lot more these days, so there's a lot less control.
Yep.
And of course it's a very big week in the financial world this week with both the US and the Australia announcing interest rate rises, you'd expect.
Yep.
And again, that's going to add more, add up the monthly payments are going to go up. Yep. And things like that. So yeah, unfortunately there probably is going to be an increase in general desperation and financial stress. Causing people to not act so as politely as what they might have.
Yeah, and from what I read, apart from they're saying gas is going to go up, electricity is going to go up, but also I believe that because of the pounding they've taken with the floods over the last, quite a few months, I believe insurances are going to take off like you wouldn't believe as well.
Yeah, I read that today, actually, that home and contents insurance is going up a reasonable percentage, even if you haven't made a claim, and they've got to get their money back somehow, I guess. So, yeah, and of course it just keeps compounding on one thing on top of the other, so putting more pressure.
And we will be talking, what we want you to do, and I won't give it to you yet, but we'll just segue into what you've just been talking about, so... we've got somebody that's come along that's asked, I think, a very reasonable question. Peter, we'll just take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Sure.
Change will bring
that was Duran and Reach Up for the Sky. Anyway, I'm off the track here. We've got Peter from Absolute Facts with us, and we're talking about all things to do with, well, anything to do with private investigation. And if you'd like, if you've got a quick question you'd like answered, 59615991, 59615991. Greg's out there. You can ring through, and I'll put the question to Peter. We do have a question for him to take away and do a bit of homework, but let's keep going. Peter, you'd like to talk a little bit about staff shortages, and you were saying before that some of them are getting abused and all that, which I think is terrible.
Yeah, so look, I mean, everyone's probably reading at the moment that there's, in a lot of industries, there's quite a, shortage of staff available, particularly teachers, I think, is one of the ones that's trying to fill teaching placements at the moment.
Yeah, about 1,000, I think, was in the paper, wasn't it? 1,000 short.
Yeah, and they're having to throw out sort of bonuses and incentives to try and poach teachers from one school to another. So that's, in the short term, it's good for the teacher, but I don't think it's good for the industry overall. But anyway, and that's, more pertinent to the security industry, which I'm involved in. That's also the case with, guards and people like that and crowd controllers. There appears to be quite a shortage at the moment of people that can fill those places. And one of the other things that's become apparent, probably particularly after the hotel lockdown debacle in Melbourne there, is that the actual security providers, the security companies that provide the volume of the guard services, I think they've been caught out for not providing adequate and appropriate situational training for the situations that the guards are being put into. And that, of course, is a cost and an impost on the security providers. But I guess it's something that really they have to be mindful of now. And I think everyone has to be mindful of that you can't just sort of put a cardboard cutout in place and expect them to be able to cope with various situations.
And the other thing is too that in a number of situations, if you're running an event where you need to get council approval, they won't give you that approval other than that you've got to have so many security staff for so many people too, don't you?
Yeah. And going back to the very first point that we made was that with people getting increasingly agitated and, with the short fuse and two ladies punching on in the street down
that
south.
That was terrible.
Then obviously the ratio of what the required number of guards and the time they have to be there and that is probably increased, I would have thought.
Yeah. And of course, it's... the police haven't got the time to be attending to these, events either. You know, once upon a time at the football, they'd have I think they still have police there, but they often used to at some of these events have the police, but they haven't got the police to spare anymore to have them at these grounds either.
No, that's become apparent with the recent soccer drama, and I was actually, speaking of which, I was actually quite intrigued to see that Ambulance Victoria doesn't attend any major soccer games. I thought that was astounding. I don't know how that came to be, but that's a very interesting piece of information that came out recently when that poor bloke broke his leg.
And not that I want to get controversial, but I see if they change the laws over the drunk and disorderly, the ambulances are going to be tied up there, carting these people home.
Well, not only the ambulance, but the police officers as well. So, that's going to be an interesting one, and I'm sure people will test that legislation to see what they can get away with. But if you haven't got a cab fare, I guess you just rock into the police station, make a nuisance of yourself, and they've got to drive you home, supposedly.
Yeah. And not lock you up.
Yes.
All right, Peter, we'll just take a quick break, and we'll be back with more. And you're back with Community Connections, and we've got PI Peter with us, our private investigator, and we're talking about all things to do with crime and those sorts of things. No one's rung yet, but if you'd quickly ring on 59615991, be only too happy to put a question to Peter for today. And if not, if you want to contact me between now and next month, as a number of people do, with a question, we'll put it to Peter next month. Peter, you want to talk about probity and checking people out, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, so the build-up to that was one of the Crime Watch sites put a clever little post up on social media, a quip, so to speak, which commenced with, I'm never going to date again because I met someone who said they had lived in a gated community, only to find out the gated community they were referring to was actually prison.
Oh, God, strike a light.
So I thought that was quite a clever little quip, but on the serious side of that, from my perspective, of course, is that it underlies the underlines the potential importance of undertaking probity type inquiries, which could potentially save someone not only a heap of money, but also a heap of emotional stress and heartache, and that there was another. Private investigation firm over in the UK actually that put up a post saying, are you dating who they say they are?
That's a good point.
Along the lines of, does this person sound too good to be true? Chances are dot dot dot. So chances are they probably are. So and of course one of the catches with that too is people are quite free to have a bit of a go at this type of thing themselves, and you know, obviously the world's your oyster on the internet. But I had this week had a client that that employed me to do some probity work, and they made some inquiries already, and they found the person who they thought they were looking for and some quite disturbing social media activity. However, a little bit more digging begged the question as whether it was or was not that specific person, and whether it was somebody with a similar, if not the same, name. So you always have to take things with a grain of salt, and don't necessarily jump to the conclusion that you've got the right person immediately, because it may not be that specific person.
Mm. I heard, this is years and years ago, of a guy who was a particular person, and everyone thought this was his name, and he happened to be walking past and said hello. A person I knew was talking to someone else, and this guy walked past and said hello, and after he'd gone, one person said, oh, do you know Peter, we'll say, and the other guy says, who's Peter? And he said, well, the guy that walked past, you know, he's John. And so this guy was obviously had a couple of aliases, going to say how many he had. So I guess that's very true. And particularly when you start going out on dates and all that, you could very easily wind up with Joe Bloggs, who's an absolute deadbeat, as opposed to Peter, who's a nice guy, couldn't you?
Oh, definitely. And of course, that if you follow that line of thought through, then you sort of get to the bigamy equation where, you know, it must be exhausting having two different or three different families that you're involved with at the same time. I couldn't imagine trying to take that on myself, but
I got enough trouble with one, let alone three.
Yes, I'm with you on that one.
I shouldn't laugh, but I do know, this is many years ago, where my father knew someone, and he had two families, and my father actually caught him out. And somehow he used to live with one from Monday to Friday and then go and live with the other one the weekends.
Yeah, and look, it still happens, Alan. We do. It does pop up from time to time in what we see and hear and things like that. It's quite unusual, of course, but as I say, from my perspective, I think it would be quite exhausting. So,
and Peter, financially, I could only afford one. How could you afford two?
Yeah, well, financially, I'm not even sure I can afford the one. There you go.
Pardon me, I've got a cough. I've had COVID and it's gone away, but I've had this cough's hung around for about a month and I can't get rid of it. Peter, have you ever had a case like that where you've been yourself following somebody? And it, well, when I say following, I don't mean necessarily following on foot, only to find out that there was somebody else?
No, I personally haven't come across that, to be quite honest. I've skated fairly close to that kind of situation. Unfortunately, at the moment, there's a propensity for people to be carrying false driver's license and false IDs around as well. So, but I think that's more for the purposes of obtaining financial advantage rather than actually living a double life, so to speak.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I haven't personally come across that in my travels, but I have heard of it quite often.
Yeah. What you say, I'm probably not a good enough liar. I'd get caught out. I'd keep using the wrong name. I'm
not. Yeah, I think you'd get confused. I would get confused in the lie myself. Yeah. So I think you'd fall over pretty quick.
Like, so this one we were talking about where they lived in one Monday to Friday and then went home the other weekend. I don't know how either family didn't twig and think, well, and both these had children. So the relationships had been going on for many years. I don't know how you could, one was silly enough to think, well, I suppose you could say, well, I'm going away for work Monday to Friday, but why would you always be missing from the other family 5 days a week and only home? Well, I could understand that. Flip the other one where they're home all week and then gone at weekends.
Yeah, well, and from what I hear, more often than not, the two other parties, if you like, are actually quite happy with the situation and have not necessarily any inkling that things aren't, you know, all above board. Mm. And maybe that comes back to the to the old adage that perhaps absence makes the heart grow fonder.
All right, we've just got to take a quick break. Peter, we'll be back with more. Just before we go back to P.I. Peter from Absolute Facts, I just should mention in the last hour I played Cal Kennedy with his Dodge Ute, and I said I'd give you a bit of information. He and, pardon me, he and Leanne Patrick, Cal Kennedy and Leanne Patrick, along with Clint Joyce and Telecom Joe, will be holding a part of a charity night. And it's for mental health. It's Love Me, Love You, Never Alone. It will be held on Saturday, the 18th of March, at the Fluid Lounge and Bar in Healesville, 7 p.m. till late. Drinks at bar prices, of course. It's $25 entry free. Entry fee. It's not free. It's $25. But the money does go to Love Me, Love You, Never Alone, which is a mental health organisation. To find out more, you go on to Facebook, BRI, and then a space, H-A-Y. That's BRI, space, H-A-Y on Facebook. You'll find all about it on Saturday, the 18th of March, Fluid Lounge and Bar in Healesville, 7 p.m. till late, $25 entry free. And Leanne Patrick will be there, and so will Cal Kennedy. And I'm sure if you twisted his arm, he'll sing the Dodge Ute for you. I'd be disappointed if he doesn't. Peter, you want to talk about database and breaches.
Yeah, so we touched on this a little bit last year in respect to the, a couple of big corporates having some database breach issues. And I, from my perspective, I haven't seen any repercussions really come their way yet. I've been very little talk about any penalties, punitive damages and things like that. I think I've already told you I was subject to the Optus data breach, and just recently received a letter from a health insurer who I've never had a policy with, and in all honesty, I don't ever remember making an inquiry with.
Must be old.
Yeah, and they've advised me some of my details have been leaked in their data breach. My question there is, as I think we touched on last year, was why would they still be retaining my information for so long? What purpose does it? What purpose are they using it for? And I followed that through by thinking, I'm not aware of any class actions yet being undertaken against these companies for that kind of conduct. The fact that it would have to be at least. Well, I would think at least 10 years since they've, and they continue to retain my information. I'm just wondering why maybe there has been, and haven't become aware, but why aren't there class actions being considered against the conduct of these people, let alone what are they going to do to prevent future events? And following that through, of course, as a small business owner, I'd be guaranteed if I breach somebody's privacy and data, the bureaucracy would come down on me like with a ton of bricks, no doubt.
There hasn't been much said about that, has there?
No, and it's concerning that they're basically put their hand. I mean, credit to them, they put their hand up and been relatively proactive from what I can see, but they haven't been penalised.
Nah, fair enough. Peter, I'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Sure.
G'day, g'day. How you going? What do you know? We'll strike a light. G'day, g'day. And how you going? Just say g'day, 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 and you'll be right. Isn't it great to be an Aussie, taking a walk along the street, looking in shops or buying a paper, stopping and having a yarn with people that you meet down at the pub or at a party, whenever you're stuck for what to say. If you want to be dinky-dye, why don't you give it a try? Look 'em right in the eye and say good day. Good day, good day. How you going? What do you know? We'll strike a light. Good day, good day. And how you going? Just say good day, good day. when Italians meet, they all go crazy. The blokes all like to hug each other too. The Yanks invented hi and see you later, while the pommy will shake your hand and say, how do you do? Now watch out for a Frenchman or he'll kiss you. The Spaniards go for ola and ole, but in the land of the cockatoo, cock hats and a didgeridoo. When you meet an Aussie, 10 to 1, here's what he'll say. G'day, g'day, how you going? What do you know? Or strike a light. G'day, g'day, and how you going? Just say g'day, 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 and you'll be right. It's a greeting that you'll hear across Australia, from Geraldton to Govan Gundy Guy. It's as dinkum as the dingo and the dahlia, and you spell it with a G apostrophe, a D-A-Y. G'day, g'day, how you going? What do you know? We'll strike a light. G'day, g'day, and how you going? Just say g'day, 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 and you'll be right. G'day, g'day, and how you going? What do you know? We'll strike a light. G'day, g'day, and how you going? Just say g'day, g'day, g'day. Just say g'day, 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 and she'll be right.
Well, you can't get much Australian than Slim Buskney singing G'day, G'day. And, anyway, I'll put that in. Peter, we've got... I have to get out the studio a few minutes before 2 for Greg to get in here, so I've got a Pink Floyd coming up when the Tigers broke free.
Excellent. Thank you.
Right, no worries. Peter, I think I'll give you the question that we've got for next month.
Sure.
And it segues beautifully into what you started off with. Is there a noise at your end?
Yeah, I've got someone chainsawing not too far away. I can't do much about it.
No, that's okay.
No.
I just didn't think it was here. Peter, the person that would like you to have a look, and you've been talking about asset protection shoplifting in the over the, about the last 6 to 12 months, whether there's been an increase, and you said that there possibly has been, but whether there are facts to back that up, but also they'd like a bit of a breakdown on what the type of shoplifting, not the stores, whether, but what the person is alluding to, has there been more shoplifting in food and commodities,
yeah,
rather than say, hard things like, you know, paint. Well, paint's not going to be knocked off, but you know what I mean. Whether it's a stable things, whether it's mothers and fathers who are really stretched, swiping food to keep the family going, or whether it's there's an increase on people knocking stuff off, I guess, to sell.
Yeah, so anecdotally, there's two elements there. One is, the stealing the necessities. There's... Yep. Definitely, anecdotally, been an increase in that. Filling up a supermarket trolley and pretty much charging out the registers because they just don't have the money.
So could you have a look at that data for us over the last 6 to 12 months just to see where not... we don't want to know the areas and we don't want to name companies. It's not that at all. It's just necessities against products, I guess.
Yeah, I can. I just might point out, though, that particularly in Australia, there's quite a lag with the information being collated, let alone being released.
Right.
Probably get more guidance out of the US numbers, so I'll have a look at them because I'd say that whatever's happening over there is probably reflected pretty much here.
Everything else that happens over there happens over here.
Although I guess their theft of Vegemite probably hasn't really taken off yet over there, so...
Possibly true. Peter, we've still got another few minutes, probably about 6 minutes. Is something else you'd like to talk to us before we go?
Yeah, look, I just would like to let your listeners know a little bit about, you know, how when people contact me and how people contact me and things like that.
Yep.
And basically my job initially is to listen to the problem, and the more information, the more detail that the, you know, potential client, not even a client yet, might want to go into, then the easier it is for me to, you know, perhaps come up with some analysis, offer some feedback and form a strategy. With the advantage for me is, of course, I'm generally unbiased and certainly unemotional in respect to whatever the predicament they might find themselves in. And sometimes, you know, it can be cathartic just to talk to another person and put your tale of woe down in word form, and I probably take some notes, which I tend to do quite a lot. And then it becomes, firstly, whether I can help them. You know, secondly, whether there's any kind of budget that they can afford for me to try and help them. And thirdly, what are the key things, what are the key objectives to be achieved, and how that they might be achieved. So whether that's, as I say, I've alluded to before, Alan, there's a lot of desktop work that can be done, but at the end of the day, as per TV shows and movies, that, you know, sometimes you can't beat legwork at times.
That's true too. Peter, do you ever find that when you get a client come to you that it's either so hopeless or you think that they're just on another planet, where you just say to people, look, I don't think I can do this?
Yeah, look, there can be an element of that, unfortunately. There can be some sort of mental health implications as well, which are always worrying, and you obviously feel sorry for the, you know, perhaps the paranoia that they might be feeling. But again, and you know, to follow that through, then obviously I can be told some fairly sensitive and some fairly graphic and detailed information. And that comes back, as we sort of talked about privacy breaches, that in my industry, that confidentiality is just an absolute keystone of my industry, yeah.
Peter, let me just ask you this. It's probably a bit unfair off the top of your head, but have you ever had a case where you've sat and listened to the person and thought, this is just a bit of rubbish, I don't believe any of this, and then you've taken the case and found out that the incredible stuff they were telling you is actually turned out to be true? Have you ever had that happen to you?
Yeah, look, I think there's always elements. As I say, the there can be an element of paranoia, so you've got to take everything with a grain of salt. But generally there's some element of truth in there, underlying truth in there somewhere. And my job is to find that, but also encourage them to try and document or record the things that they say are happening. Because unfortunately, without any sort of evidence, in inverted commas, you can't really take the matter to police, because they just, as you've mentioned, they don't have the time or the resources to do that. That you basically have to almost have quite compelling evidence to then, you know, interest the police in taking up the case.
Yeah, but what I was getting at, like, you've never had one that you completely almost wrote off and said, oh, look, I don't think I could do this, where actually it turned out to be absolute hard facts?
Yeah, probably more elements, probably never to the extent of what they think, but definitely have found things that would raise eyebrows, I guess, and that you could see why they're at that sort of point. So I've never had one that's sort of been a complete 360-degree turnaround.
Yep.
But I've definitely had ones where I've been a little bit sceptical but done the work and actually found some credence to what they've been saying or what they're feeling, yeah.
Yeah, because the trouble is you can get paranoia, particularly if you think that someone's doing the dirty on you or whatever, can't you? And you can see it, but you think no one else can, but it does turn out to be right in the end.
Yeah, I think people can definitely dwell on things and build it up and build it up and build it up. And to them it's the, you know, it's definitely happening. It's the most important thing in the world and it's destroying them. And unfortunately, you know, there could be an element to it, a partial element, but possibly never as bad as what, you know, they've built it up to. Well, hopefully anyway.
Because it's, you know, we all tend to worry about stuff too. Well, not so much worry. I mean, worry is a bad thing. But if you start to build it up to something bigger than what it is, then it really starts to cause trouble too for that person, doesn't it?
Yeah, and every other little thing that happens is kind of like another, you know what I mean? So
unfortunately, we've all done that, haven't we?
Oh, absolutely, yep.
Peter, look, it's nearly time for me to go. I really do appreciate the fact that you've come back with us this year, and it is Peter from Absolute Facts. He gives up an hour of his time every month to come along and tell us what's going on. And apart from that, let's be honest, he's going to go away and look up some of those facts for us. We've asked about the shoplifting, and that all takes him time. So we're incredibly grateful to you, Peter, for the time you do give to us. And it's really great to talk to somebody who's at the coalface, who knows exactly what's going on.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. Thank you for the kind words. I must admit I enjoy trying to impart a little bit about what I do across to your listeners, but yep. And dismiss all those things that you started off with about the Tom Selleck and the red Ferrari and the girls hanging off each arm. So, unfortunately, I have to assure you that's not far from the case.
It would be nice. No, I was going to say it might be nice if it was, but your wife might be listening, so I better keep my mouth shut and say no more.
Yep, discretion is the better part of valor.
And I should mention to the listeners too that if any part of today's you missed, you can go onto our website, click on the podcast. On the second page, you'll see my smiling face. And underneath that, if you click on that, in about a week's time, you'll hear a podcast of today's show and all of last year's shows that we've done with Peter. Peter, look, again, thank you very much for your time. I hope this year's going to be a terrific year for you and your family, and we'll talk to you on the first Wednesday of March.
Very good. You got Wednesday correct, Alan.
I got it that time. Peter, it's sad when I keep messing up these days. We're going to go out with Peter, with Pink Floyd, and When the Tigers Broke Free.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. Bye.